then because it's in him that we become family. It's in him that we become the people of Jesus, and we get to spread the love of Jesus out to one another. And so glad that you're all here and enjoying the fellowship this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 15. I really am going to finish up John in the next couple of weeks, and then on Sunday, June 30th, I won't be here next week. So the next Sunday I'm back, Sunday, June 30th, we're going to start the Follow Me study. I'll be preaching on Follow Me on the Sundays, and then Wednesday night we're doing the Bible study on Follow Me. And so really excited about that emphasis for the whole church, and the kids will be doing the same thing. We're going to start up Sunday school for the kids on June 30th, that Sunday, up through fifth grade, and they'll be studying the passage that we're studying that week as well. And so I'm excited about having that all church emphasis here for the summer. So I hope you can be a part of that as well. A couple of things I wanted to mention. This coming Wednesday, we are going to do a prayer walk on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Just meet here. Could do a little worship, and this is kind of in conjunction with Pastor Bruce's series on being a missional church, and just and Jesus's instruction that we should pray to the Lord of the harvest, that he would send more workers into the harvest, but we also need to pray for those who are lost and for our city. And that's what we're going to do on Wednesday night. Pastor Bruce injured his leg. If some of you don't know, that's why he's kind of gimpy and hobbling along a little bit, because he's getting really old. And so give your regards to him in that regard. But so he won't actually walk with us, but he's going to instruct us on prayer walking and send us out into the neighborhoods on Wednesday night, weather permitting. So I'm excited about that. All right. Thought there was one more thing I was supposed to mention. Next week is family camp, so one worship service. Just want to continue to remind you of that. Help us remind other people as well. Let's bow and pray as we come into John chapter 15 this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray that as we go through this text this morning together, that it would not just be words on a page, or I think it's fairly familiar text, but Lord, that you would use it to penetrate our minds and our hearts, and so that we leave this place different from how we entered it this morning. Lord, that's my prayer, and that's what your word does. So Lord, use your word to change and grow our lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, John chapter 15 is a great chapter. It's one of my favorites in the Gospel of John. And it's really about the secret of life. It's about life's one thing. And so I'm saying that this is a profile of a Jesus follower, and it's also a profile of a disciple-making dad. And what we really need to do, and I'm a dad, what we really need to do in our households and what we really want to do as a church is the focus always needs to be on Jesus. Always, and on the gospel. We don't outgrow that. We don't move beyond that. It really is all about Jesus. It's about knowing him and living in his presence. It's about hearing from him in his word and from his words to us. And it's about living in his love at the foot of the cross every single day of our lives. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That's what it means to keep the gospel central. And that's what our text, and that's what Jesus is going to teach us here in our text in John 15 this morning. So I'm going to date myself a little bit here. Not literally date myself. It's for those teenagers that are listening. But how many of you remember the movie City Slickers? Anybody? All right. Old people like you guys. Just a great part of that movie just reminds me of this passage here in John 15. If you remember Curly, kind of the tough old cowboy, he's the guy on the dude ranch, and he takes the city slicker, Billy Crystal plays that character, out into the wilderness, and he teaches him about the meaning of life, if you remember that whole part of that movie. And he tells him that life is about one thing. Life is about one thing. And then Crystal goes, well, what's the one thing? And he says, well, that's, you got to find that out. What that one thing is. And then he's telling Crystal, once you find out what the one thing is, then you live for that thing and that thing alone. Well, that's really what Jesus is telling us here in John 15 this morning. is that life is about one thing. Jesus is boldly telling us today that either for the first time or as a reminder, that real abundant life is found only in him. And if we are going to produce fruit, kingdom fruit, eternal fruit, spiritual fruit in our lives or in our life as a church, it's always going to be because we are abiding in him as the true vine of life. And his life then flows through us in the Holy person of the Holy Spirit, and then it flows out of us. And we produce the fruit, kingdom fruit, fruit that will last. Notice that this life, this type of life, is found in him, not from him. Real clear, it's in union with Jesus, in relationship with Jesus, in knowing him, in loving him, in living in his love, that we are, that's eternal life itself, is to know you, the one true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To know him, intimate, personal, daily living in his presence, that is eternal life itself. And that's how life itself gets poured into us, is in our relationship with Jesus. In a great book that I would highly recommend, and I've been recommending it, called Gospel, Simply Gospel, by J.D. Greer, he talks about a big, burly, Texas-sized guy who came up to the author. Actually, this is a different book. Sorry, this is not a fan. I'm reading so many books right now, I can't keep them straight. Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman. And so Kyle Eidelman shares this story of this big, burly Texas guy who comes up to him after he had preached on the topic of not being a fan, but being a follower of Jesus, being a completely committed follower of Jesus Christ. And it told this big guy told the story of his prodigal daughter. And he was asking for prayer for her, and then made this statement to Kyle Eidelman that he shares in the book. He says, "We raised her in the church, but we didn't raise her in Christ. We raised her in the church, but we didn't raise her in Christ." And I'm speaking dad to dad in this room this morning on Father's Day. We don't want to make that mistake. We want to raise our kids in Jesus Christ, to know him, to love him, to walk with him, to follow him and him alone. That's what we want to do as Christian parents. Jesus, while he was on earth, did what the Father commanded him, we were told at the end of John chapter 14, because he wanted everyone to know that he, Jesus, loved the Father. He says, "I keep the Father's commandments so that people will know that I love the Father." And so Jesus said that in the context of going to the cross, where he showed the full extent of his love for the Father and for us by willingly giving up his life for God's glory and our eternal good and life. So we are all called to walk as disciples of Jesus Christ in obedience to him, so that everyone will know, especially our family, that we love Jesus. And we will gladly give up our own life, if that's what it takes, for his sake and for the gospel's, in order to glorify him and in order for more people to come to know him as the true vine of life. And so that's what our text is all about this morning, as we now as we get into John chapter 15. If you remember from last week's message, it's impossible to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit of Jesus flowing into us and then out of us. And Francis Chan reminds us of that the Spirit is given in the world that the world might know Jesus. So it's the light, very life of Jesus is what the Spirit pours into us, so that we work out and live out and live to reflect the image of Jesus into this world. And so Chan is talking about the church, and he says, "The fact remains that I cannot convince people to be obsessed with Jesus. Perhaps I can talk people into praying a prayer, but I cannot talk anyone into falling in love with Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can do that." That's why we need to be individuals, and we need to be a church that is always about submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. That we want to live humble, dependent, submissive lives to the Spirit of Jesus, so that the Spirit of Jesus works in us and through us, and so that we can participate in others coming to Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can do that, help people to fall in love with Jesus. So by every measure that actually counts, I need the Holy Spirit desperately. And we sang that song about, I'm desperate for you. And that's what I want us to know, and that's what Jesus wants to know. He says in our text in John 15 that we can do nothing apart from him, apart from being connected to him, living in him as the true vine of life. We can produce no spiritual fruit. We will not see people come to know Christ if we are not living in his spirit and in his presence so that we reflect his glory and his grace out into the world. It's impossible for us to lead somebody to Christ, but it isn't impossible for the Holy Spirit working in us to lead somebody to Christ. So David Platt kind of talks about the difference between superficial religion or spiritual regeneration. Superficial religion, this is a little teaser for the Follow Me study. Superficial religion involves a counterfeit Christian life that consists of nothing more than truths to believe and things to do, and it misses the essence of what it means to follow Jesus. Supernatural regeneration, the Holy Spirit changing us from the inside out, on the other hand, involves an authentic Christian life that has been awakened by the Spirit, truth, love, passion, power, and purpose of Jesus. And that's what I want to grow in all of us, myself included, as we come to John 15. So, fruit-bearing Jesus followers, according to Jesus in John 15, have three characteristics, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. First, they are living in Jesus' presence. They are living daily in Jesus' presence. So let's take a look at the text, John 15, 1 through 3. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So Jesus starts off here, and he's saying, I am the true vine. He's saying, following him, following Jesus, means that we are living attached to him as this vine of life. We are living connected to him through his Spirit, who now indwells all true followers of Jesus. This has always been God's desire throughout the Bible. We see it, to have a people in this world who are living as his life-giving vine to the world, drawing people out of sin and back into relationship with him, their creator God. So Jesus is saying he is the true vine. The nation of Israel was meant to be a God-glorifying, witnessing community to the greatness and glory and grace of the Lord their God. But Israel failed over and over again to be that kind of vine, to produce that kind of fruit in the world so that people would come to know our great and glorious God. Passages throughout the Old Testament say this. Isaiah 5, 1 through 7 compares Israel to the vine. It says this, my beloved had a vineyard. This is Isaiah speaking. He's talking about his beloved, his God, had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. That was Israel. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes or sour grapes. You ever had a sour grape? You don't really want to eat a grape again once you eat a sour grape. You know what I mean? That's the illustration that he's giving to us here. Israel became sour grapes. It actually turned people away from God rather than attracting them to him. That's the thing. And Isaiah 5 goes on to say, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice within those people, but behold, bloodshed. And he looked for righteousness. He looked for his glory to be reflected among those people. That's what righteousness is. But behold, an outcry. All they saw was Israel's sin. And it was actually degrading to their God and to their purpose to be the true vine of God, showing forth the glory and grace of God in the world. So Jesus came to be the true vine on our behalf, so that if we are connected into him, we will fulfill this calling on our lives as Jesus' people in the world, to be the people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit of Jesus, and who are reflecting his glory and his grace into this world in a winsome way. In a winsome way, just as Israel was supposed to do. And so Jesus came to be that true vine of God, shining the light of the glory of God into this world for all to see. And now all those who are truly connected to him, is what he's saying, as their vine of life, will produce the fruit of the kingdom, being witnesses of this, of him as the king, and of his gospel, his good news, with their everyday life, as we are connected to Jesus as this vine of life. And so the text goes on in John 15 saying, abide in me, live in my presence, Jesus says, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. What we also have the analogy here is that Jesus is using is that, and it's been throughout the Gospel of John, is that there are false disciples of Jesus and there are true disciples of Jesus. In John 6, there are these false disciples of Jesus. They're called disciples of Jesus. But they, when Jesus starts to talk about, I need to be your life. I need to be the bread of life for you. I need to be the fountain of living water. You need to feed on me and find life in me. When he starts teaching that in John 6, what do? They all leave. They say, this is a hard teaching. We're out of here. What Jesus is saying here is that there are branches in me who are professing to be believers in Jesus who are producing no fruit in their lives, and those branches are just professing believers. They do not possess Jesus himself and his spirit within them. And so they're not true believers. And so Jesus is getting at that here in these verses. To abide means to stay connected, continue in, live in, and make our home in. Jesus commands us to abide in him if we want true, genuine, real life. This life is found in him, not from him. It is intimate, personal knowledge that's at the very center of our lives. This is why Jesus says to people who profess him as their Lord, but who do not abide in him as their Lord, to depart from me in Matthew 7, because I never knew you. I never knew you. You weren't connected to me. You didn't live in me. You didn't make your home in me and in my presence. You weren't desperate to live in my presence every single day of your life. And so you weren't saved, no matter if you say, look, call me Lord, Lord. That's sobering. The Apostle Peter gets at what it means to abide or live in Jesus' presence when he says this in 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. How is grace and peace going to be multiplied to us as believers? He says, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In knowing God and knowing Jesus, then grace and peace get multiplied into our lives. He's talking about being connected to the vine, being connected to the vine, being connected to Jesus. Living in Jesus' presence is how grace and peace get multiplied to us. It's a personal, intimate knowledge. It's not just facts in our head. It's facts in our heart that we embrace and that we trust and that we love. Okay, that's how we're going to grow in Christ. That's how we're going to grow and multiply in grace and in peace, which are fruit of the gospel that get grown up in our lives. He goes on to say, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. His divine power has granted to us granted us as every true abiding follower of Jesus, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. It's exactly what Jesus is saying, teaching us in John 15. He said, as we abide in Him and we know Him and we grow in relationship to Him, that we reflect out Jesus' glory and His excellence into the world. We live a life of godliness, Christ-likeness, so that others see who Jesus is, how great and glorious He is, and how full of grace He has been to us. So abiding in Jesus' presence is the only way we will glorify God, produce eternal spiritual kingdom fruit, and prove ourselves and to others that we are really Jesus' disciples. So go down to verse 8 with me for a second here. I just want you to see that this is the outcome of a life of abiding in Jesus. By this, if you abide in Jesus, Jesus says, if you abide in my presence, if you live with me in the life that I provide as the true vine, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples, my followers. How we prove to be Jesus' disciples is that we love Jesus, we live in Jesus, we live for Jesus, and that fruit of Jesus and His kingdom fruit and His spiritual fruit come out of our lives to show that we truly are a people who know the one true God in Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. And so that's living in Jesus' presence. Fruit-bearing, genuine followers of Jesus live on an ongoing daily basis in Jesus' presence. They've figured out life's one thing, which is the passionate pursuit of Jesus in everything, in every aspect of our lives. I love King David, who understood the one thing, just like Billy Crystal was supposed to try to figure out. But King David said in Psalm 27 about the one thing, he says this: one thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, all the days of my life, not just Sunday, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. This is the one thing, David says, I have asked of the Lord, and I'm seeking after daily with my life. I need to live in Your presence, Jesus. I need to live there every day. And that's what I want in my life, where I'm not going 3-4 days and I haven't even thought of Jesus, who is my life, who is my everything. And I want that for us as a church, that we really are passionately pursuing Him. And I use the word passion deliberately. It has to be a passionate pursuit. If He's become life to us and salvation and everything, then we need to be a people who are seeking Him with everything we've got every single day. And Jesus' presence will empower that type of life among us. So abiding in Jesus, this is from J.D. Greer in the book Gospel, abiding in Jesus will produce all the fruits of the Spirit in you, but not by having you concentrate on any of those things, on any of the fruit. If you want to grow in Christ, you don't concentrate on the fruit, you concentrate on Him. You concentrate on Him. Greer goes on to say, you concentrate on Jesus. You rest in His love and acceptance given to you not because of what you earned, but because of what He has earned for you. So apart from Jesus, he says, we can do nothing. What Jesus means is that without Him, we can do nothing truly good, lasting, God-glorifying, and Christ-exalting, and self-denying, and eternally helpful for others in this world, apart from abiding in Jesus. Abiding in Jesus means staying vitally connected hour by hour to the One who alone can produce obedience in our lives by conforming our will to His. So bearing fruit for Jesus' sake and the gospel kingdom's sake gets produced only through abiding in Jesus, only through abiding, living in His presence, making our home with Him daily. That's the only way spiritual fruit comes out of your life or my life or the life of this church. It's a constant, daily, passionate pursuit of Jesus as our Savior, Lord, and treasure of life. That's the life we're called to. And what a glorious thing. Jesus is inviting us into that life, that abundant life. Live that life. I'm offering it to you freely. Live in it. Live for me. Live in me. Live through me in the power of my Holy Spirit. Do it daily. You have the privilege. I bought and purchased and removed every obstacle so we can live this way every single day of our lives. The Bible also says we can quench the Spirit. We can push him aside. Don't do it. Fight the good fight of faith in trusting Jesus and living in his presence and seeking him every single day of our lives. The next thing fruit-bearing Jesus followers do is they abide in Jesus' words. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And I just want to ask these questions, I guess. Do you know the Word of God as a life-giving, life-transforming fountain of everlasting joy? Do you know this book and the words of Jesus, who is God, who is behind all the words of this book? Do you know the book that way? I know in my own life it is just so easy to get up and you've got your routine and you get up and you're in the Word, but you're not looking to the Word to sustain you for that day. You're just kind of doing your thing and checking your box. I did my devotions. Check. We get to, in the Word, dwell and commune with Jesus, who is the life-giving fountain and whose words are powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, to bring life and to put the death sin and to bring new life into us every single morning. His mercies are new every morning, and they're applied and given to us through the promises of his word. So are you passionate about the Lord's word? What I'm noticing among some of our young people, some of my sons and the others that they hang out with anyways, is they've got a passion for the word right now. I love it. I love it. They want to get in the Word together. They're doing Bible studies. They're doing them all on their own. You know, that wasn't Dad, the pastor, saying, you know, your kids really should do a Bible study. They just wanted to get into the Word because they're finding life in the Word of God, in the words of Jesus. God is reawakening in our youth this love for him, this love for Jesus, this wanting to dwell in his presence daily and passionately pursue him in the Word. And I'm so excited about it. Think back. If some of you have been, I've been a Christian for, been a follower of Christ for 30 some years. Think back to those early days. Jesus even asked us to think back to the early days as a church when you were first came alive in Christ and you came alive to the Word. I couldn't get enough of the Word of God in those days. And I thank him that really that has continued to grow in my life, with certainly down seasons, but it has continued to grow because I found life in the Word of God, in the words of Jesus. And my passion, I wanted to, anybody who would get together and wanted to be in the Word together, that's what I wanted to do. That's life, right? These are life-giving words. Abide, live in my words, Jesus says. Live there every single day. Abiding Jesus' words means that we keep on trusting his teaching, his promises about himself, about the Father, about the Holy Spirit, and about what he's doing in this world and what he has said that he would be for us. And we live by faith in Jesus and the promises that he has said that he would work into our lives. In instructing Moses, is the Lord instructing Moses in Deuteronomy 6, and Moses instructing the people then about how they need to live for God in their daily lives and how they need to disciple their families. He says these words. Moses told them that the word of God is not a trifle to you, but it is your life. You say, in the words of God, in the commands of God, there's life. There's life. Live there. Abide there. Dwell there. Whether it's in shepherding our homes or in shepherding a church, we need to be a people, Jesus says, who are about living and abiding and connecting in and making our home in the Word. Jesus' words, the Word of God. And then fruit-bearing Jesus followers are living in Jesus' love, Jesus tells us. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide, dwell, live in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The Bible tells us that God's loving kindness, Jesus' loving kindness, is better than life. Do we know that? Do we believe that? And if you feel like I'm not experiencing the love of Jesus, all you need to do is go to the cross and live at the foot of the cross, because that's where the love of Jesus flows out in its fullest stream. Amazing love! How can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? Live in that love is what Jesus is saying. Live in that love daily. Daily. Abide there. Dwell there. Make your home in it. Don't push it aside. That's why we need the gospel. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves and to one another every single day of our lives. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And to go into places like Romans 8, where it talks about nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, and help one another live there, because we start to doubt and we start to go astray, and it's always about a good fight of faith, trusting that what Jesus has done on our behalf, it made it possible so that we can live in his love every single day of our life, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and that we get to live in the fullness of his love, not just partial of Jesus' love. We get to live in the fullness of his love every single day, no matter what we did that day that we think pleases him or doesn't please him. It doesn't matter. He doesn't love us any less because of what we do, and he doesn't love us any more because of what we do. If we are in Christ Jesus, we are in and get to dwell in and get to live in the fullness of his love every single day of our lives. And you think, if as we live that way and we do it out in our everyday life, people are going to go, I don't know a love like that. That's that grace, that mercy that you live in every day, I want to know something about that. What is that? That's what's going to happen. That's what's how the fruit's going to be going out. We need to live in the presence of Jesus every day, live in his word every day, live in his love every day, and then just live. Just live. That's why Martin Luther said, love God and do whatever you please. If you're loving Jesus, do whatever you want in your day, as long as you're loving Jesus in that. That's what we're talking about. That's what Jesus is really helping us, hopefully, to see. Abide in my love. Dwell in my love. Make your home in my love. Do it daily. It's an ongoing thing. So when... Let me just do this. Apostle Paul has a great prayer about the love of God in Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. This is my prayer for myself, for us. I pray that the Father may grant us to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being, attached to the vine in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. That's what Jesus is talking about, right, in John 15. That, so that, we may have strength to comprehend with all the saints strength to comprehend, to understand with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ. He means for you personally, for me personally, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that we corporately may be filled with the fullness of God. That's an amazing prayer. That's what Jesus wants for us as well. I'm just going to close with the last thing Jesus says, verse 10, or verse 11 in John 15. Fruit-bearing Jesus followers are living in Jesus' joy, living daily in Jesus' joy. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That's just incredible. That's a promise from Jesus. I spoke this to you about me being the true vine, about you abiding in me, about my life flowing like sap through you and into you in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you live in my presence, you live in my word, and you live in my love daily, and the result of that will be joy. Joy, abundance in life, because life is found in Jesus Christ. I love Psalm 16:11. It's one of my life verses. You have shown me, O Lord, the pathway of life in your presence, dwelling in fellowship with him. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, it's where Jesus is, are pleasures forevermore. That's the pathway of life, Psalm 16:11 says. That's the way of life, is seeking Jesus as this joy-giving fountain, living in his presence, living for his kingdom and glory, living and walking with him daily, and hearing his words and seeking to want to live them out with our lives, that his joy may be in us and that our joy may be full. So, in Jesus' presence, following him is where fullness of joy is found. Hearing and heeding his voice awakens joy, his joy in us, and leads to our joy being full to overflowing. Is your joy in Jesus waning? What's the solution according to John 15? Come to me. Don't beat yourself up. Don't go here. Don't go there. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's in his presence that we find joy and rest and life itself. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son. And thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that connects us who truly have repented and have come to true faith in Jesus Christ. You now connect us through the Spirit of Jesus into fellowship with you, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And our delight in what the Christian life is all about is just living in your presence. Jesus paid it all. He removed every obstacle. Lord, I pray that these truths would penetrate our life, not just here this morning, but each day of this next week, and that we would move out with joy, living in Jesus' presence, living in his words, living in his love, and then reflecting the glory of knowing this God to others as we commune with them and as we love them in the name of Jesus. Lord, may that be our life within our families. May that be the life that our kids see in us as dads, disciple-making dads. And may that be the life that this community of Great Falls sees in Valley Community Bible Church. That it's they see Jesus in us, who is the hope of glory. In Jesus' name we pray.